And this is Adelaide's 88.7 Coast FM. Thank you very much to our Coast FM sponsors. We're about to talk athletics, pro running in South Australia. And pro running, we've had a great relationship here at Coast FM. We've had a number of athletes and coaches that we've interviewed over the last few weeks. And tonight we're privileged to have a chap who has been described as an athlete, a host of Brighton, host of the Brighton event, and has a great historical knowledge of the sport. And I'm talking about Bernie Tippins. Bernie, are you there? It doesn't sound like Bernie's there, is he? So we'll just wind Bernie down and try and get him back on. And of course, all this leads into the the Bay Chef, which is going to take place on December the 27th and 28th down at Glenelg Oval. Of course, its spiritual home, I guess, is Collie Reserve, but the last couple of seasons it's played out at Glenelg Oval. Great event. It's a mixture of all sorts of running events, from sprinting to longer distance sort of stuff. So if you're at a loose end on the Monday or the Tuesday just after Christmas, head yourself down to Glenelg Oval and be part of the action. So I think we've got Bernie back again, so let's just see how we go. Bernie, are you there?
Yep, here this time. Thanks, Kevin. How are you going?
Not too bad. Thanks, Bernie. Thanks for your time and joining myself and Angela on Sports Cap tonight. As I said in the intro, Bernie, you've been described to me as an athlete, the Brighton host, and someone who has great historical knowledge of the sport. How would you describe your involvement in the sport of pro running?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I got involved in the pro running many years ago. Probably I started off as an athlete, joined a running group down at Brighton under the coach Keith Patching. Probably joined there when I just left school and did many years of competing as an athlete with the South Australian Athletic League. Towards the end of my career, I probably ran for 10 to 15 years with the Athletic League around South Australia. We used to go to Victoria for some meetings, which was fantastic. Then we had a chance, when I was retiring sort of from the sport, the league had some great news with ABC TV actually covered live the Bay Sheffield for a number of years, probably 5 or 6 years, and they needed someone to sort of sit next to the host and just help them out with some of the athletes' names, etc. And I had that job, so I really enjoyed that, helping the league out in the ABC and just getting the Bay Sheffield coverage around Australia. And some of those Bay Sheffield coverages actually went into Indonesia on Star TV, so it was great to promote our sport, and I was lucky to be part of that. And once that sort of finished, we as an athletic club decided we'd like to try and put on an athletic meeting, because a lot of the meetings that are put on throughout the season are put on by groups of runners. We try and put one on each to spread the load with the league. And I'm down at Brighton, and we sort of had three meetings at the Glenelg Oval there, probably from the early 2000s. And then we moved down to the Brighton Oval. And, that's sort of been my involvement, running as an athlete, which was fantastic, and helping out with some commentary with ABC. And then, putting on the meeting down at Brighton. So sort of a bit of everything at this stage. Mm.
Brilliant. Now, I also understand your running may have started on the sand rather than the track. Is that true?
Yeah, thanks, Angela. I'm lucky to live in the Seacliff area, and as a young lad, joined up as a little nipper, like a lot of the kids are, especially with summer happening now. So I was one of those little kids many, many years ago, and in those days you sort of run on the beach and do the beach flags and also paddle boards and swim. But as I probably got a sort of 12, 13, 14, my running seemed to be a little bit better than my swimming. So sort of stuck to the running side of it through my surf life saving. So that's where it sort of started, and got my sort of feet on the ground or the grass or the sand, and got underway down there and moved across and ran with the Athletic League.
So Bernie, in the tennis they have ball boys and ball girls who help out at events, but in pro running as a kid you're a colour boy. Can you explain to us what that is?
Yeah, well, that actually probably is my first ever sort of involvement with the sport. I remember my dad took me down to watch a Bay Sheffield in the 70s down at Collie Reserve when it was packed down there in those days. And, I sort of enjoyed that. And at school, in the mid-70s, I sat next to a lad called Mark Brown. His father was the president of the Athletic League, and they needed what they call colour boys to help out at the Bay Chef Carnival. And if you've ever seen a pro running race, the runners run in colours, like silks.
Yep.
Mm. And once they cross the line, they have to grab the silks and take them back to the colour steward for the next race. And so they needed a couple of young lads to do that, and I was involved in athletics and thought, what a great way to go down there and actually be involved. And that was, you know, I was in grade seven at school then. So that was fantastic. That's how I sort of also got involved with the league as well.
So you have kind of touched on that, but when did pro running start to kick off for you, and what drew you to the sport?
Yeah, it really got going probably when I sort of had left school, sort of getting about that 18, 19. I got involved with the South Australian Athletic League through the Mork Daily Running Foundation. As a young lad seeing those guys run, I didn't expect that I would be regarded as a professional runner as such. I was just a guy that ran on the beach. But in, I think it was about 1982, the Mork Daily Running Foundation, which was some money donated to the Athletic League to encourage young people to get involved in the sport, they actually started to put on junior races. And my mate Mark, who I sat next to at school, just told me, we've got some junior races. I thought, oh, I can run against some junior kids, but I didn't want to run against the adults, of course, at that stage, not knowing a lot about it. So I went down and, lucky enough, ran at the first meeting that the league had at Camden Oval for juniors. And just after that, Keith Batching, who was a coach, I ran with at Brighton, come up and sort of said, oh, look, if you're looking to train somewhere, we train at Brighton. I know you live in the area. So that sort of drew me to the sport. And once I was in, I was in. It's a great sport to be involved in. Good group of people to run with. That's probably very important. A lot of stables, they used to call them. Around the state, there's big ones. Camden Oval has a big group. Frank McHugh trains a big group down there. So it was more social as well. You train with these group of people, you keep fit, you keep healthy, and it's a great summer sport. We did a little bit of travelling. We used to go to a few meetings in Victoria, and there used to be some country events in South Australia. They're starting to come back now, which is fantastic. We used to go up the Port Pirion Run. And, yeah, that was just one of the highlights of the season. Sort of, that was sort of mid-November to late November. So, yeah, once I was in, I enjoyed it and used to go across the stall every year for Easter, which was sort of the end of the pro running season around Australia. Was always at stall at Easter time.
And, Bernie, did you have a signature event or preferred distance? And what was your best result during your days competing in the sport?
I sort of was really just a sprinter. I'd just sort of run the 70-metre sprints and 120-metre sprints, basically, was what I competed in. I've had a little bit of success under the handicap system. I was very lucky to run in two Bay Sheffield finals, which obviously a great highlight, late 80s and early 90s. And I was, as a young lad, when you get into the sport, they have novice races for people that actually haven't won a race. So I was lucky to win one down at Collie Reserve in 84, when I'd sort of just been in the sport a couple of years, and that was great. I then was lucky again down at Collie Reserve, won the 70-metre sprint, but won one of the country ones as well up at Whyalla. So they're probably the ones that sit in my memory. But it's, great, even as being part of that sport, when you've got your running group, you know, you win a race, you share it with all your mates, and you may not have a good season, but a few of your other mates are, and you all run together. So that keeps you involved in the sport, the camaraderie of your teammates.
Now, can you also tell us a bit about the pro running circuit in South Australia? Since October, events have been held at Blackwood, Port Adelaide and Mount Gambier, and that's just to name a few. Are running events held at the same time and place each year?
Yeah, some move about. COVID's obviously put a little bit of changed a few things, but a lot of the meetings that have been traditional, obviously our Bay Sheffield is traditional. A lot of the Victorian meetings stay at traditional times. Here in Adelaide, the Camden Classics run on the first Sunday in February each year, and their main race there is over 400 metres. Mount Gambier's come back onto the calendar. They sort of run late November, early December each year. People that put these events on, you sort of need organisers and sponsors to do that, and some sponsors obviously don't continue on. But It's been quite good this year. The Athletic League of Loxton is a big meeting in the second half of the season, and there's a new one up at Crystal Brook, which is fantastic to see the league getting out to the country areas. But and traditionally, to finish the season here in Adelaide, McKinnon Parade, a group of runners that train there with Mickey Buckler and the guys, they put on a meeting at Pulteney Grammar School every year. So there are some meetings that are set and stick in their spots, and others sort of just move around a bit depending on oval availability and sponsors and people being able to put those meetings on each year.
So tomorrow night is the Brighton meeting, and you are the host of this meeting. Tell our listeners, what can they expect if they pop down to Brighton Oval tomorrow evening?
Yeah, no, it should be a great night down there. The weather's looking okay at this stage. It's going to be a warm day, but should be good for the evening. Our first races get underway about 5 o'clock. We've got junior races kicking off. The meeting goes through to approximately 9:30 tomorrow night. And a number of races, 70-metre races. We've got a couple of 120-metre events. A lot of 400 races, which are great, one-lap dash of the oval. And there's a couple of 1,000-metre races, 2.5 laps for the people to get round there. But, yeah, it should be a good night. We usually run on a Sunday, but this year it's our first time we're running on a Friday night, and probably a good thing in a way. The ovals are all being used over the weekends for cricket and other sports, so a lot of young kids and adults are getting involved in sport, which is fantastic. So we've taken the Friday night to get the meeting going. So we hope we've got a great evening down there. So if you're in the Brighton area, it's also the last lead-up meeting to, as you've said before, the Bay Sheffield on 27th and 28th of December, being held at Glenelg Oval this year. So the runners are pretty much at the top of their form, getting ready to compete in the big one a bit later in the year, at the end of the year, sorry.
So, well, the big race tomorrow night is the Keith Patching Memorial Sprint, which is a 70-metre race. Who was Keith Patching, and what was his involvement in the sport?
Yeah, great question, Ansel. It's great. Yeah, Keith, was the past coach of the Brighton Athletic Club. He coached runners down at Brighton Oval for 42 years, so a great involvement. He started running himself when he was 19 years old and has been involved with the Athletic League. He's a life member of the Athletic League, and he's also in the Bay Sheffield Hall of Fame. He's trained a lot of runners and looked after a lot of people down there at Brighton Oval. Running coaches are interesting, all sports coaches actually, and especially in the running. Growing up as a young lad in the area, it's almost like a second dad. You see them and they sort of guide you along as well. So a lot of sporting coaches do that, and Keith was definitely one of those that helped all the people that came down and looked after them. Keith, he ran himself. In 1963, he ran in the Bay Chef final and finished third. So he's got a bit of experience in the Bay Sheffield. He's coached two finalists in the Bay Sheffield, Howard Coote and Anthony Toll, and he's had, we tried to work out how many runners he's possibly trained over the years, and we say probably around 200 to 300 runners he's trained over the years down there at Brighton Oval. And he's had plenty of finalists. We feel he's had about 40 finalists in the Bay Sheffield, and one year there in 94, he actually had three runners in the final. So, yeah, he's well-respected. He's a long-time community person in the Glenelg area. He ran the... he was a bootmaker down there, boot repair down at Glenelg on Jetty Road for many, many years, and he did spend a lot of time at the Glenelg Football Club. He was actually on the scoreboard. He tells us many years ago when we were running down there that... he got a call up to help out one day. Someone couldn't do it, and he was still doing it 30 years later. So the old scoreboard attendant down there, Keith. The runners used to go and stand under there during the footy season and chat to him. So it was, that's Keith. He's a true gentleman of the sport, life member of the Athletic League, and a lot of respect from all the runners that ran with him over the years. And that's where we've got this Keith Patching sprint that's on tomorrow night. A lot of the prize money for the event and the meeting. We have a few little sponsors, but a lot of it comes from past runners who are quite happy to donate to put the meeting on to see that the memory of Keith continues. And this tomorrow night will be the 14th running of the Keith Patching Sprint. He passed in 2008, and we then decided we'll have a special 70-metre sprint for Keith, and tomorrow night is the big teeth matching sprint down at Brighton Oval. So if you're in the area, great spot to be.
So he sounds like a tremendous guy. I was reading with interest the information you sent through to me, Bernie, and his trophy sounds pretty special as well, in that it's made out of the fence post that it sounds like he used to lean on when he was training his runners. Is that right?
Yeah, it came from an area, one of our past runners, Robert Malone, actually made the trophy. He got this bit of jarrah that was from the local area, and he, very heavy, heavy trophy. We've got all the names of the past winners on the trophy there, but we also recognise the coaches on the trophy. We believe the coach, Keith being a coach for 42 years, we wanted to recognise those coaches on the trophy as well. So it's a great trophy, the local area, and it's the trophy, it has three tiers there, and Robbie did this. The base represents the knowledge and the skill that the coach has and the foundation that it's built on. The second represents the runner and their ability and the dedication for hard work, and the third level, it is the pinnacle of both the coach and the runner with their success. So Robbie Malone did a great effort in putting this together, and it is quite a sought-after race now on the Athletic League. It's starting to get some really good history, and we've had some great trainers and athletes. Paul Young, he's trained three winners of the race, and Tony Toll, who ran with Keith, he's also trained two winners of the race. So it's a sought-after event, and it is interesting when you do look at some of the names on the trophy that they actually have gone on to run very well at the Bay Chef Carnival. Some have gone on to actually win the Bay Chef after winning Keith's race. Some have won the 70 metres and a lot of finalists. So even last year, Hudson Siegfried, he won Keith's race down at Brighton Oval and he won the 70 metres at the Bay Chef. So it is, we sort of look at it, if you're looking at the Melbourne Cup, a lot of people look towards the Caulfield Cup for a bit of a pointer. And if you run well in the 70-metre Keith Batching sprint, you're in great form for Bay Sheffield weekend following.
Bernie, you're just taking the words out of my mouth there. It sounds like the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double. Now, for the race tomorrow night, the forecast is for a hot day tomorrow with northeasterly winds. Are your runners going to get a head or a tailwind?
Well, they should get a tailwind with that. We run start at the northern end of Brighton Oval and head down, head south. So hopefully the front markers will love that. I know it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference. The race might take an extra 0.3 or 0.4 of a second, but that just gives those back markers a little bit more of a chance to get on to the front markers if you're running into a headwind. But with the northerly wind tomorrow night, if that does stay, the front markers should enjoy that, and we should see some pretty quick times down there if we do have that northerly wind.
Now, all these events lead into the Bay Sheffield, which is being held on the 27th and the 28th of December at Glenelg Oval. Is this the grand final of the pro running calendar?
Yeah, certainly in South Australia, that's the event that people want to win, the Bay Sheffield, or any event on that calendar. There's races at the Bay Chef Carnival from 70 metres right through to 3,200 metres this year. The Bay Chef being the pinnacle, the 120-metre event. But, that's the grand final. If you're here in Adelaide, you really want to win a race at that Bay Sheffield Carnival. The season does start in October and it does go through to Easter time. So, basically, once this race is over, the second half of the season commences with a lot of races. Ranella are on Friday, the 14th of January, so that's the first one after the Bay Sheffield. And then runners do generally look towards Loxton towards the end of February, and then those that want to obviously will head over to Stawell. So we do get a number of Victorians come over having a look at the Bay Sheffield trying to win. So being one of the major sprint races on the Australian calendar, and it's a piece of South Australian sporting history to win the Bay Sheffield or any race down there. It's been going 135 years. So probably one of the most historic events definitely in the Holdfast Bay area, but even within the state of South Australia.
Absolutely. It is an iconic event for South Australia. What would be some of your greatest memories from it over the years?
Yeah, look, we've seen some great runners. Dean Capobianco, an Olympian, and Steve Brimacombe ran down there and ran fantastic races. But some of the memories, I think, are those days probably when I first started running down there, and probably in the 90s, early 90s, just at Collie Reserve, those real big crowds that were down there, and some of the old photos I can remember running down there when the Ferris wheel was in between Collie Reserve and the beach and the Dodgem cars. It was real that fair sort of ground, and down the far end you had the Glenelg Sailing Club down there, and you also had, I think you would remember, the car park at the end of Anzac Highway. That whole area has changed down there, but the memories are those old memories of going down there to watch the running with Dad when I was a little kid, but seeing some of those great champions, Dean Capobianco and Josh Ross, another Olympian. He won the Bay Sheffield from scratch. He's the only person ever to do that. He won Stawell from scratch, and he's won the Bay Sheffield from scratch. So watching those fantastic runners was unbelievable. But it's also unique at Collie Reserve, the distance running. Because of the tight circuits, they have a 550-metre race down there, 800-metre racing, and that you're almost sitting on top of the runners as they come around the corners, and that's something very unique with Collie Reserve. So they're probably some of my greatest memories of the event down there.
Now, most sprinters don't like to run any further than 200 metres, but you, I understand, have run a couple of 90-kilometre races in South Africa. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, Angela, it's funny how that come about. Once I'd sort of finished doing my running, you start to put on a bit of weight, so I thought better start to do something. So I was just doing a bit of jogging and doing a few fun runs, and in the back of your mind, I always sort of loved athletics and thought, oh, one day it'd be great to run a marathon. And so I was sort of thinking about that and getting ready to possibly train to run one. And I read a story in a running magazine by Lisa Ondieki, Lisa Martin, the Australian Olympic runner. Yep. And she wrote a story about the Comrades Marathon in South Africa, which she ran. And I read this story and it sort of took me. I thought, actually, this might be something to aim at a few years down the track. I just sort of kept running and luckily didn't get injured. That's probably the major thing. And in 2000, decided I'm going to have to start to sort of get my training up and running, and did a lot of training up in the Belair National Park with my brother Mark, which was really good. And we went over and ran the Sydney Marathon, which in 2000 was held in April as a lead-up event to the Olympic Games. And we completed that together. And I decided, well, I think I can go to South Africa and have a run in this Comrades. And it was just an amazing event. I think it was around 22,000 competitors in the Comrades Marathon that year in 2000.
Wow.
Live television coverage all day throughout South Africa. One of the parts of the story that I read that is that the last hour of the Comrades Marathon is the most watched hour of television in South Africa, because it's very unique. They have a final finishing gun at the 12th hour. The race finishes at the 12th hour with an official with their back to the oncoming runners. And when the 12th hour ticks over, he fires his gun. And if you haven't crossed the line, you're declared a non-finisher.
Oh, wow.
And there are runners that are within 5 and 10 metres of that finish line when the gun goes off. And that's it. They don't get a Comrades medal. You only get that medal if you cross the line. So it is a unique South African event, and made a few friends over there and ended up sort of going back a couple more times to run in it. But, truly unique sort of reading the story about it and watching that final sort of gun go off. I was quite lucky. I didn't get that close to it, but I only sort of had 20 sort of minutes to spare each time that I ran it. And at the end of 90 kilometres, 20 minutes is probably about 3Ks, I reckon. So I just sort of snuck in, but it's just amazing. Most of the field crosses in that last hour. And, just a unique event. If I hadn't read that story in that running magazine, I probably wouldn't know about the race and, you know, just would have maybe done a marathon here in Australia to say I've done it. But, very unique running 70 metres at Collie Reserve and then going to South Africa many years later to try that event.
Absolutely. That sounds like a fantastic event. Bernie, look, it's been great having you on the show. Finally, mate, if you had a sales pitch that you could put out there to encourage people, you know, young, teenage years, whatever, to take up pro running and get involved in the sport, what would your sales pitch or your message be?
Yeah, it'd be to contact the South Australian Athletic League. They've got Facebook and web page to find out where there are running stables around that you can join. It's a great sport for summer. You're out there in the fresh air. you get to meet a good group of people, you keep fit. A lot of people do winter sports and come out and run with running groups over the summer. If they had half amount of the fun that I've got out of the sport, they'll have a great time. It's just a good fitness event to be involved in. And with the handicap running, if you're sort of not going as well, you may get a handicap lift. And, the idea is to try and give everybody an opportunity to win a race at some stage. So under age races, there's over 35 races. As I said, there's novice races when you just come into the sport. So I've had a great time in it. I'm still involved by putting a meeting on. I love seeing the kids come down and run, and especially with Keith Patching's race tomorrow night, seeing the winners. We're very lucky Mrs. Patching is still around. She comes down and presents a trophy, and it's a fantastic community sport to be involved in.
Well, that sounds fantastic, Bernie. Thank you for your time tonight. It's been a great interview, and you're a great story. I'm going to be down at the Bay Chef just after Christmas there, representing Sports Cap and Coast FM. So hopefully I can catch up with you so we can have a bit of a chat.
No, I'd love to do that, Kevin. Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you very much, Angela. And thank you for what you're doing for the South Australian Athletic League and promoting us. It's really appreciated.
It's a pleasure. Good on you, Bernie. Good luck tomorrow night. So that was Bernie Tippins from Athletics SA. And, of course, if you're at a loose end tomorrow night, Ange, pop yourself down to Brighton Oval. And
watch
all the action unfold. Absolutely.
Exactly. Be a good night.